Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, January 17th, 2013. And this past week surprised me, all of the things that have happened. So I'll be talking about quite a few topics this week, not the least of which some experience I've had, some I don't know what you would call it, but there's an expression when you're over the target, you're receiving the most flack. I think that applies about as well as any expression to what I've been doing this past week. But let me first start with a couple announcements. I did get the ebook up on my webpage, The Diamond Principle, which of course is available in hardcover, or perfect bound, I should say more correctly. Perfect bound, The Diamond Principle was released a couple years ago in September. And basically, it's a book that deals with the first part is kind of an analysis of modern society. And from a scientific point of view, where we are, what is the rational view of man on given where we are today on this planet. Then this in the prognostication is not good. The patient is a very sick patient. But then the second part of the book turns the corner and basically says, this is what we've got to do. And the final conclusion in the book is that it's the human race is not anywhere near prepared for what it should be doing. And, of course, we are thrown diversions to deflect our efforts in becoming the human race that we should be. The world is just in absolute chaos, and this is a planned chaos, by the way. So, but anyway, you just look at the strife around the world, and this is planned and caused. The CIA is out there, other secret organizations of the World Bank, just causing as much trouble as possible. So anyway, The Diamond Principle is a book that takes an analysis of the human race. But now that book, The Diamond Principle, this is the last in the latest in my series of books, is the sixth book in the series that is now currently available, is available in e-format. So you can buy it for $10, download it instantly, and have it on anything that's PDF, Adobe PDF compatible. So people have been downloading it to telephones, to Macs, to Windows-based systems. There's a discussion there on how to load it onto Kindle and iPods. So or iPads. And I'm not really up on all of this stuff myself, but soon all of my books will be in e-format, so that's a big step forward. So you get the book instantly. And I want to mention for those of you who have the book in the paper copy, consider ordering it in the e-format. And if you have any questions, be sure to get back with us because this is a learning process for us also. And anyway, that's just something that I'm very happy. It's been a long time in coming. I was going to update the page, but there, whenever you do something like that, there are many complications. It's not easy. It's not as easy said or done. So at any rate, soon I should have the other books up there and hopefully some other products in e-format, where they can be downloaded and instantly by the listener. Just a quick comment on all of the anti-weapon issues going on today. It's 100% clear that the government and the cronies were 100% responsible for the things like Sandy Hook. And then they come out at, gee, what amazing timing for all of this. The Batman shootout, on and on. All of this, that if you can't see through the lines and understand that this is all fabricated, well, then I guess you better go back to watching football and turn this show off. But then they come out with the gun control issues. Clearly they want to disarm the American public. The sale of arms had just skyrocketed along with everything that goes with it, munitions. And, you know, the American public is arming itself because our army is, I'm not sure, the army is supposed to defend this country, but it's nowhere either. They're off in all the foreign lands fighting all the CIA-caused results of all the chaos in the world. But at any rate, the thing I want to say is that then the response, the violence response and the response of the public is predictable. And this is something that, you know, is step-by-step created, creating areas without arms. I saw a good comment that the president is surrounded by armed guards. Does he consider that he's more important than our kids? Why are not the kids surrounded by armed guards so these shootings simply don't happen? Teachers armed so that things don't happen like this. You have to go right to the grassroots level. And then the fact that the people, the shooters, none of these stories add up if you look at the details. The government or the publicly announced stories, cover stories for all these shootings don't add up. There's no, here's always been my comment all along, there's never been any collective examination of these people that do the shootings. Mind control in mind control programs with the government in charge of these people can push a button and at any point can send somebody out into any community, theater, school, what have you, and have them shoot the place up. And then always they seem to be other people involved, and those other people get away. You never hear about them. This is a real mess that's going on out here. This is constantly done in foreign countries, but the United States is getting its dose of it right now. But the point is that once the American public is armed, if they try and take the guns and things start getting violent, then watch them come in with bio or other chemical type controls. And so anyway, that's possibly the next step in this fray, which is just not going to go away. The world could be such a wonderful, absolutely wonderful place. And by the way, I was talking about the Diamond Principle. One of my key and most important points in the Diamond Principle book is that the ownership of science, the tier one science that goes up to the world controllers, and then the tier two science that's pawned off on the public, the garbage science, the people think that NASA is the top layer of science and, you know, all of that. So what I call in the book bad science and astronomy, and I put that in capital letters that must appear at least 20 or 30, maybe more times in the book, The Diamond Principle, that the control of the public is, it's very necessary to have bad information, especially in terms of science and astronomy, because it turns out that the issues going on in outer space are really, really important. And if the public, this is it in a nutshell, if the public woke up in mass to understand that comets are the real issue here, comets are the issue. Historically, the big comets are the things that take this planet and shake it to its knees, and not the asteroid issues. Asteroids can be dangerous, but the comet issues are far more prevalent. And so if the public woke up to that, we would, the world leaders would lose control and the world would be a very different place. So at any rate, they are very fearful. That's the number one issue. I was talking before about the Christmas star and how they're trying to drive this planetary alignment concept of the Christmas star, something so stupid it doesn't make sense in 87 different directions, but it's being pawned off, clearly tier two garbage science. But wouldn't you think that the Vatican would be very interested in the public knowing the true nature of the Christmas star? But they're the ones instrumental in keeping that information from the public. But at any rate, okay, so enough of that. My book, The Diamond Principle, online in ebook format, $10. You can, as soon as you order it, you get an email telling you how to download the file. And it is print protected, which means you can't print it, but there's a keyword that you need to open the file. But at any rate, check it out. And like I say, if you already have the book in print form, please consider buying it in e-format and put it on your phone, put it on your computer, so that you have it and reference it. And I'll tell you, every now and then I take my own books and I'll pick one up and I'll just start reading it. These are well-written books. The Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes book, by the way, is still selling as good today, as well today as it did when it first came out. 10 years ago? I don't know. Whenever that first was on the market. These books are written for all time. They're not written for a flash in the pan, 1 year sale. These are written specifically for all time so that people will learn. People will be looking at these books in 50 years. So, at any rate, enough of that. Okay, a little bit on a sunspot, AR-1654, which is right now upon us in the solar system. And it's facing Earth. It's directly facing Earth right now and causing some serious auroral activity around the planet. Now, it's very interesting that this kicked up and started pouring out some electrical juice towards planet Earth just as we were aligned with Comet C-2012-S1, and of course I've been predicting for weeks a number of effects, and I will go through those effects that we've been seeing. For example, on Saturday, and this is 2 days after the new moon, so the new moon passing is what triggers these events, and of course that's all explained in my books, that the new moon passing, 2 days after the new moon, and why that is significant as a triggering mechanism for storms on Earth when we have other serious alignments like the comet, which is, by the way, very far away. It's out by Jupiter. That gives us a good reading of the power of this comet, because a comet at that distance shouldn't be affecting Earth, but this one did. We had a blizzard in Tokyo, a surprise blizzard. Gee, you know, it hardly ever snows in Tokyo. It might snow a little bit, but of course they're, you know, in the right on the ocean, and the the currents warm it, and so snow there is just really not something that they see. But a raging blizzard in Tokyo. Auroras around the world exploded on that day, the day that I predicted. And they're still going on. I believe that the Earth has connected all the way to the Sun, which means this comet, which is out by Jupiter, is connected to the Sun through Earth. Once Earth passes along here in a week or two and gets out from that alignment, we're going to start to see this comet aligning with other planets, specifically Mercury and Venus, come this spring and summer. And then the comet is going to hook into Mars next September. So, and it's going to be right up behind Mars. So get ready, buy your binoculars right now. I would suggest, and I know some listeners have emailed in and said they have purchased or it's one person got a pair of astronomical binoculars for Christmas, remember to get a sturdy tripod. That's very, very important. Trying to hand-hold binoculars and seeing detail is not where it's at. So make sure, overdo it on the tripod. And then if you want a tripod to travel with, get one that's a little bit lighter. I use a very little tabletop tripod, and it's enough to hold my binoculars, but I put some kind of a table or some kind of some kind of furniture up, and I put the binoculars up on them. Then I don't have to carry a big heavy tripod around, yet I still have that ability to put the binoculars on a tripod stable so they're not moving. Then you just put your head up to the eyepieces and look. And remember that astronomical binoculars are different from regular field or sports binoculars. Astronomical binoculars have coated lenses, very special optics in the middle so that all of the best transmission of light moves through the binoculars. So, but next September, I don't know, but I think we're going to see something we have not seen for literally thousands of years, a major comet coming very close to the planet Mars. And as I've said before, NASA is very quiet as a church mouse about this. They have just not said a word. It's not listed in any of their basic data pages. It's not listed anywhere. So at any rate, I tell you, I want to review. Now, this past Monday night, I was the first hour guest on the Coast to Coast AM radio show with host George Norrie. And the producer, Tom Danheiser, called me a number of weeks ago and says, we want you on Monday night, this 14th of January. And so I said, okay, I will make an arrangement there. And so we had set up that time to do the interview, first hour Monday night, this past Monday night. So I start the interview, the standard procedure, calls established, getting the studio line and my line hooked up, the sound correctly, you know, the sounding and miking up, it's called, getting the sound quality and everything. Okay, everything is perfect, ready to go. I'm on hold, and George makes a couple of first-minute announcements. And then Jim McCanny is going to be on, Professor James McCanny, and he does the introduction, and I come on, and all of a sudden, the strangest thing happens, loud beeps start appearing on the telephone line, on the incoming line into the Coast to Coast AM studio. I cannot hear these on my end, and this apparently is going on for the full half hour. I know people emailed in to me and said they heard the beeps. But in the studio, that's a very disconcerting thing to happen, that your guest has some powerful beeps coming in on that phone line. So we went, and George carried the interview for a half an hour, and finally they said, we can't do this anymore. The beeps were just getting overbearing. And so after a half an hour, my hour-long interview was cut short to a half an hour. But in that time, I did hit on some major, major topics in the world today. And by the way, at the end, George asked me before, he said, you know, we're going to have to cut it and go to open lines. And then the producer came on afterwards and told me, he said, Jim, this is what's going on. Your line has beeps coming in. Are you doing anything there? And I said, no. It's should be a crystal clear line. But obviously, someone may not have been too happy with the topics I was talking about. But I'll get into that in a minute, because I'm going to review what I talked about Monday night, and then I'm going to give the part of the interview that did not happen on Monday night. So you'll get to hear the whole interview of Monday night, and well, you can probably hear why maybe they were trying to block me from talking. But George asked me, and he's asked me this before in the air, he said, Jim, what's the biggest problem in the world? Is it solar flares? taking down the solar grid? Is it asteroids? Is it, natural disasters? Is it man-made? And, basically I said it's all of these. We don't know what's in store for us here. These are all very potential dangerous issues. And once again, what I should have said, really, the most important, and this is really true, the most important, absolutely pressing topic, because asteroids may hit us, they may not. Comets may come close and do damage, or they may not. We might have a solar flare, or we might not. The one thing that's 100% sure is we got to get rid of the world banking system. It is taking this world to the cleaners. They control the militaries. They control the U.S. military, the CIA. This world is a mess because of a bunch of greedy, ugly European bankers, old families with big money. They a lot of their wealth comes from the gold and silver that they stole from the Americas back in the middle of the 1500s, when most of that gold and wealth was just stolen from all parts of the Western Hemisphere and put into boats. A lot of these ships are still at the bottom of the ocean. There's something like 26 of them off the shores of the Dominican Republic alone, 26 that sank, and these are full of gold. They have ballasts of gold, hundreds and hundreds of passages full of gold, these ships, big, 250-foot-long Spanish and English man-of-war, ballasted with gold and silver, vast amounts of wealth being trucked off to England and Spain. And this provided the wealth. Remember the families, the marriages, the Vatican, the Rothschilds taking control of the Vatican wealth, the Jesuits taking over the Vatican. I mean, this is the history of this world, and now here we are in the year 2013, and the world is just topsy-turvy, upside down. The number one problem in this world is the world banking system. Make no mistake about it. And it's really a problem. How do you get at these people? How do you take that system and get rid of it? They control the UN. They control the United States government, the Congress, the legislative branch, and the court system in the United States. And this goes, every third world country is indebted to these people. The resource grabbing, the misuse of resources, the destruction of human rights, it just doesn't end. But at any rate, I'm going to go into the interview that Monday night, and I'm going to first give a quick review of what I was talking about, the part that did air. And to do this, by the way, at January 15th, the next day, I went online and I put a very long posting on my webpage. And I had just barely posted it, and it somehow mysteriously disappeared. So pretty much from memory, I rebuilt that and put it up in pieces, piece by piece by piece, and made sure it stayed up on my webpage so that people could read it. But at any rate, that covers the first part of the interview that actually did happen. So I'm going to quick read this. I'm actually going to read off my webpage, January 5th posting. And then I'm going to go into the interview, the part of the interview that nobody heard, the part that got cut at the end of the show. Okay, so anyway, reading from my webpage, and this will take about 2 or 3 minutes. If you've already read this, just bear with me. It's good to hear this again if you've already read it. Okay, January 15th, 2013, posting. This is from my homepage, jmcanniescience.com. Okay, wow, is someone trying to block my work from getting to the public? This is the second time I have had to post this information on this page. Starting with last night, as I was guest first hour on the Coast to Coast AM radio show with host George Norrie. My interview was planned a number of weeks ago and advertised in advance. As we began, I had a list of topics to cover as an intro to 2013 regarding my ongoing work. My line was jammed with constant beeps that finally caused the engineers at Coast to Coast Studios in Los Angeles to cancel my interview after only the first half hour. I was touching on topics that certainly have dug deep into the fabric of international control. I was discussing the ongoing phony issues of asteroid collisions with Earth that have hit the mass media lately, not the least of which is asteroid DA14, which is slated for an Earth close miss in mid-February of this year. The MIL orbit and position announcements, that is from the military, the MIL military orbit and position announcements, stopped a few months ago, strangely enough. More strangely, there was a new leak from NASA that NASA had sent a mission to intercept this with two special vehicles in Bruce Willis-style Armageddon Hollywood superfilm fashion. Only trouble, NASA cannot put a mouse into space. How are they going to send two mega spacecraft that are supposedly going to intercept and demolish a big asteroid? Clearly fairy tale material at best. Then good old blogger, astronomer dropout Phil Plait presents this material at a TEDCon meeting saying NASA has this ability. Since when and with what budget and who gave NASA permission to do something as stupid as blow up an asteroid and send thousands of pieces of debris raining down on Earth? I doubt if any of this is even remotely near reality, but NASA needs some new Glory Days material. Reading between the lines is easy. This is all hip, boot, knee, deep, you know what. Sounds like a story of rotten fish in Denmark in the making. Just as I was posting this, a listener emails me and states, by the way, that Bruce Willis is a Knight of Malta. What does this have to do with asteroids? As I have been pointing out, it is central to the Rothschilds' control of the world, which is central to the Jesuit-operated Vatican to promote the phony asteroid stories. We've seen a barrage lately in the international press to replace the real story that comets are the things we are really looking at. And want desperately for the public to ignore and forget about. Just so happens that the Vatican is the primary funding agency for many comet observatories in the Southern Hemisphere. A telescope for comets is unique as it is a wide field of view piece of equipment not usable for any other reason, and surely they ain't looking at asteroids with these scopes. So why would they not tell the public? When Hale-Bopp came into the solar system in the mid-1990s, the Vatican stepped up its program of comet observatories and staffed them with professional astronomers. I knew some of them. And the Vatican wanted to know, is Hale-Bopp Wormwood, the famed destroyer planet of the Old Testament? I said, holy, wait a minute, Robin, Boy Wonder, and Batman. Is this not when all the Nancy leader crazy lady talks to alien misinformation campaign started predicting the demise of the world with a big orange ball looking planet X? We also see a severe level of damage control being implemented by NASA and the standard science community regarding Comet C2012-S1, and especially, as I pointed out on the Coast to Coast interview last night before the beeps knocked me offline, that the most important date for this comet is not even mentioned. That date? Mid-September to October 1st, when the comet will approach and pass the planet Mars within just 7 million miles. A close approach of this nature should raise the call of all equipment, both amateur and professional worldwide. But NASA and the boys' announcements are mum as a church mouse. We have not seen anything like this in modern times. The last such event has been removed from the Bible and all other modern references was over 3,500 years ago. Gee, NASA, Would this not be worthy of at least an honorable mention? But nope, not a whisper. Seems someone is doing some serious damage control. All NASA announcements only want you to start looking at the comet in November. Okay, enough of that topic. Note that I did have time to include the fact that Earth is witnessing very unusual, unanticipated reactions to the current electrical alignment of this comet that I predicted. A raging blizzard in Tokyo, sensational northern lights, severe weather warnings in over 50% of U.S. states, and unseasonable flooding from New Jersey to Louisiana, which is in the middle of the winter dry season. So last night on Coast to Coast, I moved on to the topics of worldwide water control and use of mega international agriculture corporations to overtake water rights and force GMO crop production. I examined all the water management projects that should be underway in the world, but instead what we have is the international takeover of water rights and charging excessive water prices on a poverty-stricken public. This is just in the beginning stages, but the death knell is nigh upon us regarding fresh water. I was just beginning to the discussion of what I call the myth of alternative energy and the pre-announcement of my latest work when the beeps became so oppressive that the engineers at Coast to Coast had to end my interview. All of my topics cut into the heart of international control that is overtaking the world today. Listen to my show this week, and that just mentions that I'll be talking more about this on the air today. So anyway, that is what I posted on my webpage. And by the way, as I mentioned, I put that up, and it was immediately somehow surgically removed from my webpage. So I rebuilt it. It takes a long time to write something like that, edits it, put it up. And so that time I put it up in pieces the second time to make sure that, and I took precautions to guard what I was doing so that I made sure that piece of writing got up to my webpage. Okay, so now I'm going to turn the corner and talk about the things that were not discussed on the Coast to Coast show last Monday night. I want to add something, and this is, I'm very specific about my scientific work and predictions. As I announced a week ago, and I was just preparing for this coming alignment with the comet and Earth, I said that we needed to see these Earth effects, and definitely a blizzard in Tokyo, advanced super strong auroras, the connection to this sunspot AR1654, the solar flaring, that across solar system connection. But the one thing I said also is to really 100% drive this point home, and I believe we've seen the Earth effects. I would call them on a worldwide scale, I would call them relatively weak. But the auroras extended far, far down from where they normally are. And that's a good indication that we're receiving a very strong aurora. And remember, it was on the northern side of the Earth where these really strong auroras are. And because we're in winter, that's the side that's pointing to the comet, remember. And I know that the standard announcement agencies, spaceweather.com, etc., are refraining from talking about the fact that these are electron auroras. They're very unusual. They're different than the proton auroras that come from the sun. So at any rate, but the other thing I said is we have to look and see if the comet is brightening. See if the comet, now the comet is out there by the orbit of Jupiter, and it should be brightening and reacting to this overall chain of events also. But what I've seen is there is no reporting on that comet other than spaceweather.com has left a posting up since way before last week. Very unusual for them to leave a posting up that long. But certainly nothing new regarding the comets. No new pictures, no new amateur data. And so I'm wondering what the story is here. Why is spaceweather.com leaving a posting up for over a week? It's a week-old posting, And it's telling us how weak this comet is, and it's out by Jupiter, and it's a fluffy little snowball, and all the disinformation that goes along with their comet announcements. But what should be updated material is simply not there. I'm personally not in a position right now to look at the comet, which is unusual and unfortunate. But I personally was not in a position to look with my own equipment at the comet and determine brightening patterns. And it's a very complicated thing, because you would have to have data from over a week before and then watch on the specific nights that we're talking about, the 13th, 14th, 15th, in that time frame. And it actually could have started a little earlier. But the comet is out there a long way to see it brightening. I mean, it would have to brighten a lot to cause the kind of effects that I'm talking about. So what I'm saying is that we don't have that data. We don't have the data on the comet, and I'm hoping to get some. I've tried in the past to have worldwide comet watches where people, amateurs around the world, send me data. But that typically has been blocked, the pictures stolen, robbed out of the emails, and that's when NASA became very active at publishing amateur photos, because they didn't want me getting them. And especially, I had a comet study that was done back in, I think it was about 2004, and I had a big study, because there were two comets that were coming in that had broadside views, where I predicted, because of alignments with other planets, that these were going to have sunward spikes, which they did. And I set up a comet watch where people were set up to send me the photos, and I was going to paste them on my homepage to demonstrate the sunward spikes that I had predicted. And the reason the broadside view is important is because the standard explanation for sunward spikes in the standard astronomy and standard science is that there's simply an optical illusion, that there's a viewpoint that the viewer is looking, and it's actually a tail that points away from the sun, but because of the angle, it kind of looks like it's pointed towards the sun. So that's the standard explanation. So that's why a broadside view of a comet is very important, because it does away with that explanation. So if you're seeing a sunward spike and the comet is broadside, you're looking at the side of the comet, then that spike is sunward. No questions, ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so anyway, I had a very successful run on that, but NASA and the boys blocked my email, stole the pictures, and basically went out and harassed the people that were sending to me, and then set up their own amateur international watch, where the amateurs would send their pictures to NASA. Anyway, they just don't play fair. But anyway, it's something that, you know, it just shows the amount of trouble they're going to block my message from the public. In this interview Monday night, I'll tell you, I have called up friends of mine and I said, look, I'm a very stable person. I'm doing some things that are clearly very dangerous, and I'm a very healthy, sane person. So if something happens to me, is what I told them, just tell them that I live a very peaceful, tranquil, safe life. And I'm very happy with what I'm doing. I've been doing my work all my life, and I'm going to continue doing it for decades and decades to come. So I just tell people that. That's a basically a public announcement that I'm very happy with the things that are going on in my life and the success. Who was it the other day? John Moore, I think, was interviewing me last fall, and he said, Jim, you know, you got thrown out of Cornell there, and basically they ruined your career, which could have been developed over a long period of time, and up to this point, you'd have many successes potentially But he said it may have been fortuitous because now you have the biggest classroom in the world. I have a much bigger classroom than any of the NASA scientists, and probably a better known name, and my work has reached the public much better than if I had stayed there. So in that sense, fortuitous. But it's very strange, it's extremely strange to see the level of effort going into preventing the public from understanding the true nature of our universe. Okay, so at any rate, I'm going to continue on with the other topics of the other night. And let me just quick review all of the water issue topics, because these are important. I'm going to read my list. And this is the list that I sent in when I do an interview, a pre-planned interview with Coast to Coast, for example. I have an extensive set of topics that I send in to George to review. And then, of course, he picks and we talk about these topics. So topic number two of four topics was about water issues. So I'm going to read all the water issues on my list. The melting of ice caps and great glaciers. The water should be harvested, but no one in government is aware or capable of promoting this simple solution to worldwide water problems. The lack of potable water and the situation becoming critical even in developed countries, including the USA. The need for simple economic desalinization of seawater. They implement the use of weather control to manage water distribution. Develop a series of pipelines in the USA to take excess rainwater to water poor areas rather than let it run and return into the oceans. The mismanagement on a worldwide scale of fresh water. The removal of water from Yellowstone. This is a project that I say has to take place. The removal of water from Yellowstone Lake to prevent a mega volcanic eruption which could end life on Earth. Then I talk about the international control of water rights in many third world countries by international power groups. The poor are being beaten by thugs, beating them and destroying their homes and driving them from their homes. Mega agriculture business is teaming up with water rights control in the governments to force GMO crops worldwide. I said one example is Monsanto in Molokai, Hawaii, where they took over the locally developed water rights that were put in there by the people and for the pineapple industry. Monsanto comes in, takes over a man-made lake, and uses it for corn seed production, driving out the pineapple industry, forcing the people to work as slaves on the Monsanto corn production, and stealing their water rights destroying the pineapple industry there. Okay, topic number three. And any one of these topics I could do an entire show on, but I'm going to read all my topics. Now, mind you, these are the ones that were not listed on the interview last Monday night. Topic number three is my ongoing work on the myth of alternative energy and stressing that what we are seeing, and I talk about this almost weekly on my show, some new mega government-sponsored or industry-sponsored project that is doomed to failure. I talked last week about the Apple patent of a heat exchange, a thermal heat exchange unit attached to a windmill. And supposedly that would even out the flow of energy as it goes on to the power grid, and supposedly resolving one of the major problems of wind generators, that when the wind is blowing, they can generate energy, but then if it's gusty, they don't have the ability to regulate the power going out. So it gusts, there's energy coming out, and if there's a lot of wind generation, then the standard energy generating electrical energy generating plants cannot cope with these variability, varying voltages and currents that come out of the wind generators. So at any rate, the projects that are right now being funded, being tax incentives, being subsidized by the government are all failures. Well, this is planned. They only pick the ones that they know are going to fail, and then they put 5 or 10 years worth of funding into it. Well, gee, they're reaping enormous benefits off of nuclear, coal, and oil, natural gas, and maintaining those while keeping the green, the tree huggers at bay, because they know that if they put a windmill up or a big project, people will think the green tree huggers are well-meaning people, but they're not the brightest people on the planet when it comes to analyzing this, and they can be taken down the wrong road. Remember the Al Gore worldwide concerts. You got Madonna out there singing and other stars. And by the way, you should look into the history of these people and who these people are and what rock they crawled out from under. But at any rate, the point is that there are real alternative energy solutions. There are real solutions that could solve all of our energy problems, but they will never see the light of day. All you're going to see are these phony funded ones, and thus my topic, the myth of alternative energy. That was topic number 3. Okay, so I'm going to spend a little time here on topic number 4 that did not even get touched upon on the Coast to Coast show. And this possibly could be the most important of all of these. They're all important. What am I talking about? They're all important. But I have some new research that is has come to fruition. And as you all know, I'm constantly working in the background. I have my own research. I do my own work. I work alone. I never team up with other people because I've tried to in the past, and it usually ends up to be a giant disaster because your average person, investor, or whatever, the first thing that happens is if you find somebody that's got the wherewithal and the ability, eventually you get out and you have to expand out to get other people involved, to get a team together. And before the sun goes down, you got some clown that goes, well, I got a buddy at NASA. I think he should look at this. And that's when I tell him, no, your buddy at NASA ain't going to see this. This is not for your buddy at NASA, and it is inevitable. You know, so the standard investor, the standard guy that's looking for a 3x return on his investment, they're just not, they're just not on this planet. They're out in, science la-la land, and they don't know what's really going on this planet, so you can't deal with them. So I do my research myself, but some of my research is much more esoteric than others. For example, the Calculate Primes research is something I had been doing all my life, my entire life since I was first introduced to that problem, that mathematical problem in high school. I had been working, and I had kept all my notes over the years. In a file, and it was getting to be a pretty thick file, let me tell you that. And so one day, and I tell this story in the book, I said, one day I took my file and I put it on the shelf and I said, okay, I've studied what other people have done. I've studied the starts. Every great mathematician since the history of the Greeks has worked on this problem, the rhythm and the rhyme and the understanding of the prime numbers. And I said, there's got to be something there. The nature would not have the base numbers of these, the most important numbers in our number system with some kind, without some kind of order. So I put my file on the shelf for, I don't know how many years, trying to forget everything that I had done because I knew I needed to make a fresh start. And so there were some things that keyed my mind off one day. I was in my car driving. And so I went back and I sat down and I kind of dove into the middle, out way out in the big numbers, in the middle of the prime numbers table. And I said, I'm going to see if I can just like swim in the ocean out here and see if I can find some order. And that's when it dawned on me that, anyway, you can read the prime number book, the Calculate Primes book, and the rest is history. The same thing has happened somewhat again. So I'm not going to announce what the this esoteric research that I've been working on, but I'll give you some clues. It deals with the building blocks of life. It deals with the building blocks of nuclei of atoms and the building blocks of atoms. Now, to do this, what I've done is a very esoterical mathematical. I've constructed basically a new mathematical system. So basically, it's hard to pre-announce things like this because it's like a lot of my work. It takes a 90-degree turn from things I've done before. Goes in an entirely new direction, but builds on everything that I've done before. So I think this is going to be a very interesting release. It's more information than I give on a lot of my releases. I remember when the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book came out, everybody thought I was going to write another Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes book. And it was anything but that. It was quite, at the time it came out, it was a very revolutionary book. Within weeks, there were thousands of Tesla experts that emerged out of the woodwork. It was almost comical to see. The powers that be came in and basically stole the Colburn and tried to publish duplicate phony copies of it on the internet. And a lot of the other ancient archaeology, I talked about the ancient spacecraft, all of a sudden there became a plethora of experts popping up claiming to have studied this for 30 years. It was rather comical to see. So at any rate, the thing I want to point out is that all of my releases have given an entirely new direction. The weather book, for example, came out and was a complete new direction from extending my work, building on my work before. And then the Calculate Primes work came out and totally rocked the entire secure computing community as it destroyed the encryption systems, both the firewalls and the transmission encryption systems used for secure transmission and telecommunications. And then the Diamond Principle came out. So at any rate, I might add that when I came out with the release of the 2-CD set, which has been very popular, The Physics of Ancient Celestial Disasters, the 2-CD set, 18 hours of lectures, once again, something that I had people tell me, you are doing things that nobody else can touch because you build this system of knowledge and then you expand it into areas that really need explaining, need a good explanation. For example, the Mayans, which has been a topic totally distorted by the 2012 end of the world Mayan calendar people. There is a real story to the Mayans in the Mayan calendar, and that comes out on my 2-CD set, not to mention the Moses event, the Venus event, the Noah flood, which was thousands of years predating the Moses event. Okay, so at any rate, this next release, and it's going to be a very difficult thing for a lot of people to comprehend, including trained scientists and mathematicians. It's extremely complicated, but extremely simple. And this is something that I've learned, and I'm very good at, because I've been doing this my whole career for many, many, many decades, is I'm teaching on many levels. So I can bring this, for example, many people read the Calculate Primes book and understood it on a very basic level, yet trained mathematicians, some of them had a very tough time understanding it. Trained engineers, but the people that really understood what that book did to destroy the encryption systems based on prime numbers was immense, not to mention that it resolved one of the oldest problems, known problems in mathematics. It is the oldest known problem in mathematics, revolutionizing the understanding of prime numbers in the patterns of the prime numbers, directly calculating the prime numbers. So the work that is about to come out, like I say, is going to revolutionize our view of mathematics, our view of building systems like DNA, the atomic nucleus, the atomic energy levels of the atom, the nuclear energy levels, and the atomic electron shell energy levels. This is going to revolutionize the way that people look at this, the building blocks and how those building blocks come together, and how nature does this. This is something that reaches far into the fundamental aspects of these systems. And like I say, I had to create new methods of looking at these so that we could go down and step down to these this level and create systems where mathematical analysis systems that would allow us to actually look at these. And so anyway, I know in the Calculate Primes book, I talked about something as simple as six-sided snowflakes and how these are related to the prime numbers and how the building blocks of the prime numbers are visible in snowflakes, something. And then related this to electric fields in the atmosphere, which are created by the solar conditions. I mean, you start to see this in the Diamond Principle. I talk about diamonds being constructed in outer space in electric fields, just like snowflakes are constructed in the atmosphere. Diamonds are constructed in outer space in electric fields with electron beams coming in, and it's part of the electrical discharge of the solar capacitor or around other fusion-based objects. All very complicated, but very simple. And the point is that these systems are the same on the far side of the universe as they are on our side of the universe. So these are universal principles, and of course standard science is marching down the wrong road. And so what I'm trying to do is bring these details to the public. So that's coming up soon. Remember to visit the webpage, jmccsci.com. And along with the new ebook, order some other items. So once again, we'll talk to you next week. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.